This is KDNK, Carbondale Community Access Radio, Glenwood Springs, Carbondale, the Roaring Fork Valley, and beyond.
Good afternoon. It's 4:01. You're listening to KDNK. This is Everything Under the Sun. I'm Amy Haddon Marsh, your host, sitting in for Raleigh and James, who are in Denver. And we're going to talk a little bit today about the Rock and Roll Academy Aspen. And KDNK, Soper Sun reporter Jeannie Soldern wrote this great story about the Rock and Roll Academy Aspen. And Jeannie, before I turn it over to you,
sure,
I'd really like to know what got you interested in this story?
Actually, Leslie Francis, who I will be introducing shortly, who is part of the outreach for the Aspen the Rock and Roll Academy Aspen. RRAA.
RRAA.
Yeah, it's an easier way for me to remember. You had sent a letter to Raleigh, the news inbox at Soper Sun, because they've got a lot of great things going on. And in one of our weekly editorial meetings, Raleigh pitched it as a story. And I love rock and roll music. And I love, I mean, this is just like right in my wheelhouse. So it was a very fun story to write.
Well, great. I could tell you guys were having a lot of fun. So why don't you introduce your guests?
Sure.
And then I'll let you sort of run the interview for a while.
Okay. Yeah. Well, thank you, Amy, mm-hmm. for being willing to host while Raleigh and James are on the front range at the Colorado Press Association convention. So we have in studio Leslie Francis, who's the outreach person for Rock and Roll Academy Aspen, and then Chris Harrison, who is kind of the jack of all trades in that, you know, teaching, you're the executive director, and mm-hmm. he teaches music, and, you know, they're a team, Leslie and Chris, to further the mission of the nonprofit organization in this valley. And then last but certainly not least, we have Jackson. Am I right on McCracken, or do you want, or is that your stage name?
McCracken is my stage name.
Okay. And then we have, his picture is in this week's Soper Sun. If you go to page 13, it's a picture of Chris and Jackson jamming together at their Love Rock studio.
I think we're playing like Seven Nation Army or Tom Sawyer by Rush or something.
I noticed that when I visited the studio twice, once to do an interview with them, and then once you had an event last Friday that you can talk about, but Jackson really had this thing about playing that intro lick to Tom Sawyer by Rush over and over, which, I mean, but the look on his face when he's playing is just a pure joy. So, anyway, I will stop talking. And I don't know, Chris or Leslie, do you, who wants to start, talk about the mission?
Me?
Sure.
Yeah.
Well, thank you guys for having us so much, and thank you, Jeannie, for coming and writing the article. The Rock and Roll Academy, I'm just going to say that my son joined when he was actually 8 years old, and he grew up in the Rock and Roll Academy. So I've seen him grow so hugely, and he's with the same bandmates that he started off with. They are brothers. They spend so much time together. They are recording right now, and they are doing gigs. And because I've been such a strong supporter of this program and how it helped guide these men through very difficult years, this band, Chris decided to ask me if I would help him grow the program. And so we have been working really hard, and this is one of the great things we're doing is radio interviews, because what I want to do is spread the word about Rock and Roll Academy.
Exactly. And do you want to talk a little bit about, so I stopped by last Friday when you had kind of, so you had your summer camps, and then you do with each, so you have a fall and a spring semester during the school year, and then you have summer camps, but with each one of those programs, when it comes to an end, you do performances. Because, I mean, that's great if you want to play music at home, but if you want to get your stuff out there, you're going to have to get up and play in front of people. So do you want to talk about that?
Yeah. Chris, why don't you?
Sure. You know, the performances have historically been kind of the engine that drives the whole program. Having the students show their work and share it with the public is really the gift of, it's the last lesson of the whole learning cycle, and which is giving back. And so for the kids to be able to perform, and in really fantastic places. Right now we have our concerts at Tacaw, and they've been a fantastic partner from the beginning. When it used to be the Temporary, we used to have our concerts there. So really appreciate all the help from Ryan Honey and the whole team that's been there. We've been with them kind of from the beginning, and they've been with us. But we've also enjoyed playing on stage at the Belly Up. And this past summer, I got approval from the Basalt Town Council to do the summer concerts in public. And so we did four concerts on public stages in some of the venues that Willits and Basalt has outdoors in Lions Park, and also in Willits at Triangle Park. And the purpose of that was to really continue to show what these young people are doing, because even though the camp is only a week long, what comes out of these kids after spending 5 days together is just amazing. I mean, you would never believe it unless you saw it yourself. And it just brings so much joy to people. The fall and the winter and the spring concerts as well, the produced concerts that we do in Tacaw and the main venues, that's when we bring all of the bands together. From the semester, and it's usually somewhere between 6 to 8 bands. Usually 7 is pretty much is what I've been having the last several semesters. And so it's a big day of music, but to see all of these kids performing for each other and performing for the community is really absolutely amazing. And I know that it means a lot to these kids as well, for them to have the opportunity to get up and be seen. And that's really important these days.
Yeah. I know. One of the things I can feel it from you, Chris, just your heartfelt, what you want to do with the program. Mm-hmm. And one of the things you mentioned was that you really want there, you don't want cost to be prohibitive for anybody. So sure. you give scholarships. You want to talk about scholarships a little bit?
Yeah. And when I took over the Rock and Roll Academy, my predecessor, Russell Cataneo, he originally founded the program in the Roaring Fork Valley at the ABC in 2010. And one of the things that he had done was establish and get a 501c3 nonprofit license for the organization and for the mission of what the Academy is, which is our mission is to provide and protect space for youth to be creative, to engage in authentic and creative expression. And that's really the heart and soul of the program. And when I took it over from him, he had already done all the legwork to get the 501c3. So that was really nice. And taking it over, I kept it really simple because it was my first business that I'd had. And that's how I had to run it at the beginning, because you only have a nonprofit when people are really giving you money. Now, I had applied for some local grant with the Athsman Thrift Store, and they were an amazing supporter, and they were the first to really donate to the scholarship fund. And that little bit of help right there went so far, because a lot of times it's that one other kid that I need to make the whole band work. And so that little bit of scholarship help, it really helps out a lot of kids. Leslie's son, Bodie, as well. It was one of the things that made it possible for him to consistently be able to participate in the program was the help from the scholarship fund. So those donations just mean so much. And at first, that's all I really used it for, was for scholarship help to supplement what families couldn't do on their own in terms of cost for tuition of the program. Since then, with things that have happened in the last 4 years in costs rising, I've had to expand that, and I've really had to expand the mission of the nonprofit as well to actively ask the community for support so that we can continue to keep this program viable and available for the kids.
It's about 12 minutes after 4 o'clock, and you're listening to Katie and Kay. This is Everything Under the Sun. I'm here with Jeannie Solder and these great people from the Rock and Roll Academy Aspen. And I want to ask Jackson some questions. Is that okay with you?
Absolutely.
Okay, Jackson.
he's a natural man.
He's the guy who's
why do
on.
I laugh at everything I said.
No, you're just so charming. I think that's.
I think that's true.
Yes.
Well, Mr. Charmer, I want to know a couple of things. First of all, who is your favorite musician?
In the entire thing?
In the entire thing.
I think Chris was probably a very, very, very big help in the entire thing.
Okay.
Because he would, like, if someone, he would help everybody get the notes right, and he sang his own song once. He sang the second verse on one of the songs, and he was the player that would have been without, would have, like, the song wouldn't have been complete without the instrument that Chris was playing in the songs. So
that's wonderful, Chris. What a testament.
Well thanks a lot.
Yeah. And so
that's,
I guess,
the favorite in the whole thing.
Jackson, how long have you been playing guitar?
I think about 3 years.
And how old are you now?
I am 10.
Golly, since you were 7.
9, 8, 7. I think I started guitar when I was like 7 years old.
Wow. Do you have a favorite guitarist that you are inspired by?
Michael Fronte.
Okay, right away, he knows. Michael Fronte, all right.
I know. I'm the person that knows. I tried.
Yeah, that's wonderful. What do you like about Fronte's music?
I just like how, my mom was the person that introduced it to me, and I like it because it shows how it's like about being happy and everything. Mm-hmm. It's inspiring to play guitar and make people be happy.
Mm-hmm. Well, you look like you're happy when you're playing.
I am definitely.
Uh-huh.
It's fun.
This is a love of yours, playing guitar?
Of course.
Oh, that's... And what kind of guitar do you have?
I have a red Fender.
Fender.
That doesn't have a whammy bar or anything.
But it does have a battle scar.
But it does have a battle scar. It has a big, big, big place for where the paint came off, where like the paint, where some paint chips came off, and it's like I dropped it once.
Ooh. Ouch.
It's the first gig.
Oh, darn.
No, not the I think it was like no, it was either it was the, it was probably it was, the, it was the second
gig.
Well, as you probably know, there are plenty of rock and roll stars who have thrown their guitars and dropped them and done all kinds of strange things.
I hate it when they do that thing where they smash them.
Yeah, smashing them.
When they smash them, I hate it when they do that. Oh, okay. I literally, no.
Why?
It kind of hurts, doesn't
just
it?
It's like, that's an expensive instrument, and you see it just getting smashed at the end of every concert, and like, you think they would have respect for the instruments that literally make them popular.
Well, that's a really good point.
What if they made it themselves?
Chris makes guitars.
You do? Chris?
Really?
Yeah.
You're a luthier.
That's one of my pandemic projects. I learned how to fix and guitars by learning to build them.
Oh, wow. Nice. So you build electric or
yeah,
acoustic?
Electrics is what I really like.
He really likes putting stones in the guitars.
Stones.
To, like, put energy or something.
I started playing embedding crystals in the finish.
Oh, nice.
Uh-huh.
Nice.
Yeah.
So do you give them away? Do you sell them?
Right now, I just use them for myself and for the kids. Ah. I really wanted I literally wanted better instruments than the $300 guitars that you can get really easily and that people would donate to me a lot. Mm-hmm. So I started taking those. I actually bought a guitar for $50 from a kid that I was teaching at the time, and I gutted the whole guitar and I rebuilt it, and I couldn't believe it. It was an instrument.
Wow.
It was completely different. I was like, whoa.
That's fantastic.
Okay. And that's guitar's now been like my... It's the thing that I'll be studying the rest of my life. The other instruments, I feel like, oh, yeah, no, I got this one. Oh, yeah, I got this one pretty good. But guitar is like, wow, this can go so far.
So this project,
go ahead,
this Rock and Roll Academy Aspen, sounds like it's been a life changer, not only for the kids and the students, but for you, Chris.
Absolutely, yeah. Mm-hmm.
And I'd also love to say that it's a life changer for parents. Mm-hmm. And I'd like to point out that these Friday concerts that we were doing with Jackson, and the parents would come and just their jaw would drop. I mean, they were so excited to see what their kids could do. It was beautiful as well.
And it was really fun. really fun.
Yeah, and I know, Chris, one of the things you talked about was about how a smaller group of students is more of the optimum of, instead of, like, you know, kind of the traditional, like, school band like, you know, 20 kids or whatever.
Yeah. You know, my background and my degree is in music education. I think I'm one of the few on the planet that graduated with a degree, and I'm actually using that for what I'm doing. I don't know how that happened.
That's so funny.
But it's always been my passion, music, and then understanding it, playing it, and then teaching it. I'm just a teacher, is part of my nature. And so I came from a very classical music background when I was growing up in the suburbs of Kansas City, and played multiple instruments and in a lot of orchestras, and became, you know, graduated with a music education degree thinking that I would be the band director of a big high school program, you know, was kind of what I envisioned success to be. But then moved to Colorado, and the communities are much smaller. And so you don't have these, you know, 2,000-3,000 student bodies that they do in many suburban areas. And that's really what it takes in order to have a real successful, vibrant, like, marching band, which means also concert band program. And when you take the environment out here in Colorado and a lot of other factors, that's just not really possible. But unfortunately, in the public schools, that's for them as well, that's the only model of success that we have. That's the only vision of music education working that we currently can understand. At least that's my perspective on it. And what I'm really trying to show is that I knew there was another way. I knew when I graduated college there was another way, but I didn't know what it was. And I really got to give huge props to Mark Galbo. He's the founder and the curriculum writer of Rock and Roll Academy, and he lives over in Telluride. And so it's his research and development, actually, that I learned from. And when I saw the ideas in action, I couldn't believe it either. It was absolutely amazing what the students could figure out on their own when given an appropriate container and motivating direction.
Yeah. I do, Leslie, I'm going to ask you this one because I know you and I talked when I came for the interview last week, and you said how, you know, life-changing this was for your son. And I also interviewed, I don't want to get his name wrong, Brant?
Braden. Yeah.
Oh, Braden, I'm sorry. Braden, who's in the band Salt with your son, Bodie, and just one thing that he said was, you know, this was, he said it was paradise to come to the Love Rock studio and just, you know, and forget the worries of the world, right? Because let's face it, you know, a lot of teens have worries of the world, whether we want them to or not, right? And so just even the mental health aspects
yes,
of this.
Yes, thank you, Jeannie. That is definitely one of our focuses is the positive mental health this program provides. We feel like it's a safe, inclusive environment. We accept anyone and everyone. And what better way than music to, you know, express yourself and bond together with people. So for my son's band, I have seen these boys make it through things through music and their brotherhood. And, yeah, they're doing gigs now and whatnot. But I've seen the band members go through mental health problems and make it through because they were in this program. And I must say, Chris was a real help with my son a couple times, you know, just keeping them straight and keeping them excited about music and what they're doing. And it did change their life, all of their lives.
Well, I want to ask Jackson another question.
Yes.
You said your stage name is McCracken. Talk about that. Where does that come from?
Oh, that was actually a mistake in the newspaper article.
That's well, that's true, but it also comes from his mother.
It didn't just come out of the air, right? Yeah.
That's my mom's last name.
Ah, okay.
And my real name is Jackson Murison, but in the newspaper it says Jackson McCracken. So
that's got a bit of a snap to it.
It doesn't it? It really does.
I'm using that now. Yeah. It's mine now.
There you go.
So what kind of music do you guys play in rehearsals or not rehearsals, but in camp? And
I'm really glad you asked.
Yeah, what is
this? Jackson, what kind of music did you guys play?
Oh, we played rock songs. We played two country songs, I think.
Do you remember the names?
Yeah, we played TNT,
yes.
We played Seven Nation Army,
yes.
We played Life is Better with You by Michael Fronte, Happy Fist.
That was really
We
good.
Played My Hero, I think. Yeah, we did.
Who's that by?
Foo Fighters.
Foo Fighters.
Wow.
Yeah. Foo Fighters.
Wow.
Jackson was in four bands. this summer.
I spent a month in the Rock and Roll Academy.
Yeah, he was in the first week, and then he just kept coming back. And so he had a lot of a big variety of experience, actually, because the first group was kids. It was their first time also, and they were right in your age group. Yeah. And you had played a little bit more than them, but Lucy was super talented.
Oh, yeah.
She was sick. Yeah, and Sydney picked up the drums just like most other kids that I do. We started on Monday, and by Friday, he had the drums down three songs. So that was the first band, and then the next week, you were with Beetlejuice, 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 Beetlejuice.
Yeah,
four times. Okay.
Yeah, we went through. I had a lot of different age groups. I had ones that were me, ones that were.
But those kids
ones
were
older. That were older than me, and then I had. What I have after? Well, and then my friends, Forrest, and and then I had a band that was on their phones constantly.
Talk about worries of the world.
Well, and then I had, and then Malen from the third band, and my friend Forrest that I've been friends with, and he moved from.
He came from Newcastle.
Yeah,
Or Silt?
I think he came from New York.
Who's that? Forrest?
Forrest.
Oh, where he moved from. Okay.
Yeah. Forrest moved from New York to here.
Somewhere,
And so he's one of my really good friends, and he joined the Rock and Roll Academy with me.
What was
it
like,
Kevin? And so did Malen from the third band.
Yeah. And what was it like when you, like, already knew somebody that was, and you did the program with them?
Oh, well, it was fun. Yeah. And it was, it was fun. But he was also, like, kind of distracting.
No, that can't happen.
We have about 3 minutes or 2.5 minutes, so we need to kind of wrap this up. It's been a fabulous conversation. This is so interesting.
It really has.
So I'm so glad you're here, Jackson McCracken. I look forward to hearing you play sometime.
Well, keep his name in mind, because I have a feeling Jackson is going places.
Yes. Yes.
He's got a lot of energy.
Please, next time you do a newspaper, please put Jackson Mearson.
Okay. Will do.
Yeah, so, let's do that.
Real quickly, can we, is there a website or something where people can contact you guys and get their kids enrolled?
Absolutely, yeah. RockandRollAcademyAspen.org is the website, and had it redesigned, and it's really nice, and I think you really get a good feel for the program and the kind of work that we're doing there. Fall registration is happening right now, so please reach out to us. We would love to talk to you if you have a kid that you think would enjoy this kind of a program, because I think you can hear from Jackson that it really serves kids that are just really turned on and really excited and passionate about some of the arts. These kids are out there, and this is a program that I feel really serves them.
Well, thank you for being in the studio, and thank you for hosting, Amy.
Well, thanks, Jeannie and Leslie and Chris and Jackson for being here, and good luck with the RRAA.
So fun.
Well, you'll have to come back.
This was a really fun first experience for me.
All right.
Good.
I'm also proud of myself because I'm only 10.
Well, you should be. Stay tuned for Bird Note, and we'll see you next week.
Bird Note. You might know the copycat songs of northern mockingbirds. But they're not the only mimic birds in town. Brown thrashers also learn songs from nearby birds and add them to their repertoire. The species has been documented singing over 1,100 different songs, a mix of imitations and invented little melodies. While mockingbirds usually repeat a song or phrase three or more times before moving on, brown thrashers tend to repeat a phrase only twice. Brown thrashers are striking birds, with bright yellow eyes, cinnamon brown back and wings, and a white breast with dark streaks. They swing their large beaks through leaves on the ground to uncover seeds and insects. The species nests in hedges and shrub thickets. Its population has declined by about 41% since 1966, as its nesting habitats have dwindled. Brown thrashers live year-round in the southeastern U.S. and breed in the Northeast, Midwest, and Great Plains. Getting to know your local thrasher can be rewarding. You never know when they might have a new song to perform. For Bird Note, I'm Ariana Rimmel. Thank you.